Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
And good morning, everyone. I've seen some of you over the weekend once or twice or three times already, and there's more yet to come. Tonight, I hope you'll all be at, I'm making a commercial message on your time. Hope you'll come at the lectures in memory of our son Amram that by Yibod al Chaim, our son Ilan and I will be giving tonight at 6:30 at the shul, followed by refreshments, followed by more discussion. And several more occasions coming up the next couple of weeks until the birthday party from which I hope to escape relatively unscathed. Rabbi, do you know there's a birthday party coming up? In case you didn't know, I just wanted to say.
Just One Life is all about birthdays.
Oh, very well said. Good gazak. Very good. You may wonder why I'm here this morning. I'm here for two reasons. Number one, I'm the out-of-town guest. It's always good. It's always very effective at any organization to have a speaker from out of town. And there's an old question, an old biblical question. When the Jews made the golden calf, the reason they made the golden calf and began to worship it was because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come down in time when they thought he said he was coming down. And they panicked and they made a golden calf to be their leader. And the question is always asked, they had Moses' brother Aaron was right there. He was almost as great as Moses. Why didn't they make Moses, Aaron the leader? And the answer was that Aaron was from in town. The golden calf was from out of town. And they'd rather have an out of town person coming than an in towner. So I am your out of town guest. In Yiddish, the joke is much better. The joke is, in Yiddish, they say, Besser afremder Kalb, the aneginim Aaron. It's better to have a strange calf than your own Aaron the high priest. Anyway, what am I doing here today? Besides being the stranger from out of town, it just so happens that some years ago, I received a message from a colleague, a rabbi here in America, who recommended to me this organization called Just One Life. And maybe I could send them some personal money or have some charity money for my fund. So, and I looked into the material that he sent me and made some inquiries in Jerusalem and found that this really was a really outstanding organization that really wasn't as well known as it should be, is really a well-kept secret. So I periodically would send them some personal funds and some other funds that I had at my disposal. And lo and behold, all of a sudden now I'm here in Atlanta and I'm the speaker at a fundraising event. Which the moral of the story is, be careful to whom you give your tzedakah because you never know what you'll end up doing with it. But I'm delighted to have been part of this organization in a very, very small way over the number of years. I've recommended it to a number of people, including the Lewises, and I'm happy to be able to greet you all this morning in Atlanta, and to thank the Lewises for their hosting this and for their support of this very, very fine organization. There's really little for me to say to encourage you to support this organization. You've already seen from the video and from the literature the tremendous work they do. In my own rabbinate of some 40 years here in Atlanta, I had a number of occasions to counsel with people, with husbands and wives, and teenagers about issues of abortion. And I'm very, very familiar with it on a first-hand basis. And I'll tell you one little incident. You know, every wedding that a rabbi performs is for the rabbi also an emotional experience. If it never failed, in all the many, many weddings that I officiated at over the years, that when the bride comes walking down the aisle, that I don't get a lump in my throat. Number one, because I'm going to be part of their becoming one unit. And because of the many, many questions that arise in the mind when a couple is about to get married, and the many, many prayers that come out of the heart, hoping that everything will go well. And I always have a tear in my eye and a lump in my throat when I perform a wedding, until this day. But one wedding that I performed stands out in my mind above all others. And that was a wedding of a young girl, of a bride, who almost was not born. She was almost not born because her mother was in a crisis situation such as you described here in the film. Some 20 years earlier, had already had 5 or 6 children and found that she was pregnant, and they could not afford, she felt, to have another child. And there were other difficulties, and she came to me telling me, she wanted me to know in advance that she was having an abortion. She wasn't asking me whether she should. She was informing me that she was going to do this. Well, I tried as gently as I could to talk with her, to reason with her, to make sure she knew what she was doing, hoping in my heart of hearts that she would perhaps change her mind. And after one or two discussions and several meetings, she did tell me that she decided not to do this as a result of these discussions. So she did not abort. This was the kala. This was the bride in front of me who was almost not born. So you talk about a lump in the throat and tear in the eyes. I almost couldn't get through that wedding. And then after the wedding, after the chuppah at the reception, I went over to the mother and wished her mazel tov. And we looked deep into one another's eyes. We didn't say a word to one another, but we knew we had a major conversation and communication in that single moment of my wishing her mazel tov. That was to me an extremely memorable chuppah and kedushin and wedding that I performed. There are many, many such incidents that any rabbi could tell you about, but this is one that I wanted to share with you this morning. You know, this name of this organization, Just One Life, is really an interesting name. We've already heard several times and read in the literature, call him Makayim Nefesh Achas B'Yisrael. He who sustains just one life in Israel is as if he has saved or sustained an entire world. Because imagine what one unborn child can do and what one born child can do. A born child can grow up and can get married and have children, and those children will have children, and those children will have children, and in the space of 100 years you may be talking about, you know, 20 or 30 people in a family, and you multiply that by thousands of such cases, you have an entire population as a result of a child, a single little screeching child that's born, all with all that incurs and all that implies. That's why when we say about the Holocaust and the Shoah that we lost 6 million people, we lost more than 6 million people. We lost tremendously more than that, because each one of those 6 million, some of them were, I shouldn't say each one, but a number of those 6 million would have had children and children and children and children's children. So we had a tremendously deadly loss in the Shoah. And in reverse also, every child that's born is a response to the Shoah, to the Holocaust, where we are able to replenish the losses that we suffered during World War II. So Just One Life is an apt name. On the other hand, you look at Just One Life, the title, and you say, so what's the big deal? Why are you making a fuss about Just One Life? It's Just One Life. Big deal. But as we see, and as we know by now, it's more than just one life. It represents a tremendous amount of Jewish life. Now, these weeks we're reading in Exodus and the Sefer Shmos about the children of Israel in Egypt and the plagues that they're suffering, that the Egyptians are suffering. One of the plagues that the Jews are today suffering in Israel is this plague of abortion. There are far too many, I don't know, what is it, 35,000 abortions a year? Something like that, taking place in Israel. Which, again, using the same arithmetic, means in terms of the generation, a huge amount of Jews that we're not having, that are not living in Eretz Yisrael, they're not living in Israel, and they're not part of the Jewish people. So that is a plague, it's almost a self-inflicted plague, and that's why this organization, which does so much, and this organization doesn't hit people over the head, doesn't preach to people, but it listens and carefully with wisdom and with sensitivity and with discretion, tries to convince, it frequently succeeds in convincing people to go through the term and to give birth. So this is a plague that we have a way to fight. These weeks we're reading about the plagues and the attempt of Pharaoh to abort, so to speak, Jewish children, Jewish boys who are born, immediately to kill them. That's the order he gives to the Jewish birth mothers, the mialdos, the midwives. And the mialdos, the two major midwives, were Shifra and Puah. Who were they really? Tell me, huh? Miriam and Yocheved. And they are the ones about whom the Torah writes that God built for them houses. What does it mean he built for them houses? He built for them palaces in history. He built for them the house of priesthood, which went down through Jewish life, and the house of kingship, which goes down through Jewish life, through Aaron HaKohen, priesthood, and through Moshe Rabbeinu, the house of kingship, of leadership of the Jewish people. Through their simple act of not carrying out the killing that Pharaoh, the emperor, had instructed them to do. The Mialdos HaIvrios. I wanted to also mention that yesterday's Sedra occurred to me while we were reading the Sedra, that the first line is God says to Moshe, "Va'era, I appeared to the forefathers Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in the form of another name, but by my name Yudke Vavke I did not appear to them." Now what does that mean? As you all know for sure, God has many, many names. Some 70 odd names. Each one of these names represents a different aspect and quality and characteristic of God. There's Elohim, and there's a Kadai, and dozens and dozens of names for God. The ineffable name of God, the name that is so holy that it cannot be pronounced, that we don't pronounce when we see it in the Siddur, is, and even in the Torah, is the names with the four letters. Yud, followed by He, followed by Vav, followed by He. Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. It is, we call it Arishem, or in a bracha we say the real name. But we never say it the way it's spelled. Yud, and He, and Vav, and He. What does Yud, and He, and Vav, and He mean? What it means is Hoya, Hove, V'yiye, a being who was, who is, and who will be. That is a being, God, who represents all of history, who was from the beginning of time. Hove, he is now, and Yiye, he always will be. That's the Yud and the He and the Vav and the He. He is the being with a capital B par excellence, who always was, who always is, and who always will be. We're gathering here today on behalf of being, of existence. That's what we're dealing with. It's not just another organization, but it's actual existence itself. The existence of a human being, the existence of a witness for the God, the existence of a part of the people Israel, the existence of the past and present and future of Am Yisrael. That's what Just One Life is all about. It's an organization of being. And I pray that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, will give each one of us the strength, the wisdom to understand what being really is, to treasure each child that's born, and to help this organization continue its magnificent work in making sure that many, many other rabbis in the future will have the nachas that this rabbi had when he was able to officiate at that wedding that I told you about. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.